Hi, this is Winners Chapel International, New York. Thank you for downloading our podcast. We hope this inspires you, builds your faith, and motivates you. Please make sure you subscribe to get new messages every week. Enjoy the message.
Putting up a fight against the forces of ungodliness. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, in New King James Version, it says, physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. That's why anything that wants to rob you of godliness will rob you of eternity. And it's worth to put up a fight for it. And I trust God tonight, God is going to show us another way to fight all the forces of ungodliness in Jesus' mighty name. Tonight, we want to narrow our teaching to what I captioned, we must guide against the spirit of the world. That's our subtopic tonight. We must guide against the spirit of the world. We started it a little bit last week, Wednesday, talking about the spirit of the world. And we're just going to continue from there. Please go with me to the book of 1 John chapter 2 as we read from verse 15 to 17. 1 John chapter 2 verse 15 to 17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Now, God is saying to us tonight that we should not love the world. What that is saying is not that we should not love the people, but we should not love the spirit that is operational on the earth. And he quite mentioned those spirits right in the verse there. The lust of the flesh, the lust of eyes, and the pride of life. Now, how do we guide against the spirit of the world? If the Bible says we should not love the world, it's actually saying don't love the spirit of the world. So how do we guide against the spirit of the world? Just one key tonight. It is by guarding up the loins of our mind. By guarding the loins of our mind. That is, guard up the loins of your mind. Now, the battle of the world is the battle of the mind. The love of the world is within the mind. It manifests within the mind. It takes root in the mind. So in order to guard against the spirit of the world, we must guard up the loins of our mind. We must guard up the loins of our mind. Where does that phrase come from? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 to 16. It says, therefore, guard up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Now, it all begins with guarding up the loins of our mind. Now, the mind does not really have a loins. That's metaphor. Guarding up the loins of one's mind is a metaphor. Now, I want to show us a picture of what that really means. What, you know, guarding the loins of one's mind really means. Now, in the ancient days, everyone wears garment like that, like flowing garments, men and women. And so when you want to fight, It's very difficult to fight with that kind of garment. So you have to fold the garment and tie it. So that part is the loins. So that's where that phrase comes from, that will guard up your loins. So that gives you the energy, the flexibility, the ruggedity to be able to fight a battle. So when you are going for battle, you have to guard your loins. So you have to fold that cloth. Otherwise, you can even trip. So that's where that came from. So when you now guard your mind, it's like you are guarding that cloth that is trying to deny you of being able to fight against every thought from your mind. So that's where that phrase comes from, which means whatsoever that is loosed, whatsoever that will not allow you to fight the battle of your mind, you have to guard it. You have to put it together and be ready to fight. Praise the Lord. Now, why should we guard up the loins of our mind? Number one, the mind is the number one target of the devil. The mind is the number one target of the devil. Satan appealed to the mind of Eve and got her down. We went into that last week. How Satan used the spirit of the world and was able to convince Eve. We saw all of that in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 to 6. So what the devil is actually targeting is your mind. Because if he gets you at your mind, he has gotten you at every point. So we must guard the loins of our mind because that is the target of the devil. Now, for instance, God forbid, if the thief is coming to the house, the thief is targeting your strong room or where your jewelries are. So when they enter the house, the first thing is, where is your money? So they are at gunpoint, they are leading you to where your treasure is. Remember the Bible says, where the treasure of a man is, that's where the heart will be. You see? So wherever you have the treasure, the heart will be there. So your mind is also the treasure that the enemy is looking for. Because everything that God has packaged in man is embedded in the mind. That's why you have to guard it very jealously. Like if you keep your money in the house, you don't just put it in the kitchen. Maybe the innermost part of your room, you know, you have a very strong safe there that you just put somewhere very locked up, and some will put their own at the roof of the house. What do they call that roof of the house? Sorry? Attic. Attic. That's where some people, I'm releasing some secret tonight. You better go and change it because I already released your secret. Praise the Lord. But you know, in that place, if your own strong room is at the attic, even the attic, you don't allow anybody to enter. You cover it as if there is nothing there. You only enter it secretly. But that's where the enemy is targeting. That's the same thing with our heart. The mind is where the enemy wants to target. Because once he gets your mind, he has gotten everything. So that's why we must guard it. Number two, why should we guard up the loins of our mind? Until your mind is renewed, your life cannot be transformed. That's why you have to guard it jealously. Until it is renewed, your life cannot be transformed. So Satan will always want to fight you from renewing your mind so that you can remain at the same spot. Look at what Apostle Paul said, Romans chapter 12, verse 102. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So there is no transformation until the mind is renewed. That's why the mind is the target of the enemy. So when you're about to study the word and process it with your mind, Satan will bring distraction. When you're about to reason along with God, Satan will want you to reason something else. Why? Because he wants to cause distraction. He wouldn't want your mind to be renewed. That's why a lot of people, Satan will keep them from studying the word, because the word has the capacity to fix the mind. The word has the capacity to fix the spirit. But Satan will always fight against the mind. He wants to block your access. He will prefer you to be on social media from morning till night. He will prefer that you listen to news from morning to night. He will prefer that you watch worldly movies from morning to night. Some individuals can watch Nollywood and Hollywood from morning to night. But when it's time to just watch 45 minutes message, this thing is so long. What's this man talking? Since he's been talking since just 45 minutes. But meanwhile, 6-7 hours, they've watched episode 1, 2, 3, 4. Somebody say, God have mercy. That's the target of the devil, because he will not want your mind to be renewed. Because once your mind is renewed, your life will be transformed. But Satan has lost the battle tonight, in the name of Jesus. Number three, why should we gather up the loins of our mind? Every evil act is a product of evil thoughts. Every evil act is a product of evil thoughts. Do you think any reasonable person will just carry a gun and will go and just attack a bank? No. He has already calculated it in the mind. He has already planned it. Everything is well articulated and calculated from the mind before he carries it out. Even to do anything, whether positive or negative, you have to first process it in the mind. Before you go for interview, do you just wear suit and go for interview? You begin to think, if I get there, what will I say first? All these questions I've read, if they ask me this. So you process it, you rehearse it in your mind. So the same way, every evil act is a product of evil thoughts. That's why we have to guard what goes in our mind and what you know is operational within the mind. You wonder why some Christian behaves the way they behave. It's because of what they process within their mind. So if you disallow the devil from entering into your mind, then you have disallowed him from making you to misbehave or to go into sin. James chapter 3, verse 11 to 12. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Does no spring yield both salt water and fresh? So what that is saying is, if you process what is good within you, you will act correctly. But if you process what is evil within you, there's no way you can act rightly. So you have to disallow the enemy from bringing negative thoughts, from bringing the thought of malice, the thought of bitterness, the thought of hatred, the thought of unforgiveness. If you can stop him from bringing all the negative thoughts within you, then you have stopped him from making you to fall into error or into sin. And I decree tonight in the name of Jesus that the loins of your heart will be well guarded. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 16 to 22, Jesus speaking, he said, you will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good fruit cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. So it is the thoughts from your mind that determines the kind of fruit you bear. That's why the Bible says, out of the abundance of the earth, the mouth does what? Praise the Lord. Now, having said that, what are the strategies to overcoming the battle of the mind? How do we overcome this battle of the mind? Number one, engage your conscience. God is giving us conscience as a police, as a security guard, to guide us 24/7. So engage it. Engage your conscience. Let your conscience work. Put your conscience to work. Assign your conscience to help you. Your conscience is your police, is the law that guards you, is the schoolmaster that directs you, that watches over you. Engage your conscience. We must engage our conscience against evil work. So when your conscience is telling you, the conscience is the spirit man within you that guides you. And everybody has conscience. Now, when you receive the Holy Spirit helps your conscience to work more actively. So in case you can't hear the Spirit of God, you can hear your conscience. That's that inner voice that tells you when you commit sin. That, oh, pastor, you just told a small lie there. And you quickly forgive. You quickly confess. Maybe you just want to share a testimony and you had a little bit, you know, to just say, no. I shouldn't have said this. I was just, I'm sorry. That's your conscience. You always bring it to your attention. Maybe you just got angry at your colleague at work or at your employee at work. You just got angry. And immediately you enter your office and the Holy Ghost just convicts you, you know, from your conscience that action is not right. And you just, Lord, I'm sorry. And you call the individual, I'm just sorry the way I reacted the last time. That's your conscience. So engage your conscience. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, it says, there is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted. Why? Because he has given you a conscience that will always help you to show you when you want to go into error. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So when you engage your conscience, you will always know when to fight from within your mind. Number two strategy to overcoming the battle of the mind is to continue exercise of your conscience. We must continue to exercise our conscience unto good work. Continue to exercise your conscience. Exercise, just the same way you have to exercise your body. You also exercise your conscience. Don't allow your conscience to sleep. And how do you exercise your conscience? By feeding your mind with the word. Feeding your mind with the word. So when you feed your mind with the word, your conscience will be active. Your conscience will be fed with the positivity of the word of God. So your conscience will know what is right and what is wrong. So when you do what is wrong, your conscience will be alive to tell you, you have just done what is wrong. So we must exercise our conscience. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 to 2, it says, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not working in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Now, the summary of that is that let your conscience be active by exercising your conscience. In Acts chapter 24, verse 16, Paul said, and wherein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void to offense toward God and toward men? Now, what that also means is that you should also allow your conscience to be active. That is, when Satan tempts you with any sin, whatever your conscience tells you at that point, put it to work, practice it. So with that, you are exercising your conscience. You are allowing your conscience to be functional. Let's have a functional conscience. Even faith, the greatest weapon of victory, cannot deliver without a good conscience. And a good conscience is a conscience that is active, that is allowed to be functional. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19, it says, holding faith and a good conscience or a functional conscience. And in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 9, he said, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. So as we begin to exercise our conscience becomes pure and our conscience becomes functional. It becomes good. Now, number three strategy to overcoming the battle of the mind is to engage the weapon of the blood of Jesus. Engage the weapon. We cannot overemphasize the power of the blood of Jesus. We cannot. The blood of Jesus is the cure for every evil conscience. In case your conscience is defective, you can engage the power of the blood. That's why I like our prayer group. Every Saturday, they were always being taught about the blood and engage the power of the blood. Because there is sanctifying power in the blood. There is deliverance power in the blood. There is restoration, restitution, victory, deliverance in the blood. So in case your conscience is seared like iron, like the Bible says, or in case your conscience is dead, what can revive it is the blood. It's the blood of Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14, he said, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without a spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And I pray tonight in the name of Jesus, as we partake of this blood of Jesus, everyone's conscience shall be sanctified. It shall be cleansed. It shall be made alive in the name of Jesus. And number four strategy to overcoming the battle of the mind is to continuously guide your heart. Continuously guide your heart. We must continue to keep our hearts from evil thoughts. Don't allow your mind to stray away. When you begin, I remember years back when we first got into the gospel, first gave our life to Christ, they will practically teach you, don't sing worldly song. They will give us all the laws. Now, I really don't want to sing the worldly song, but the worldly song itself is singing in my the worldly song, no, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. It will keep singing in my mind. So at that time, I will keep singing God's song, you know, out loud. So that whatever spirit that is bringing this nonsense must die today by force. Shout hallelujah. So that is how to guide our mind. Because if you just allow your mind to stray away, before you know it, you're already processing negative thoughts, you're already processing evil thoughts. At that point, if you cannot overcome it, you better begin to pray in the Holy Ghost out loud. You better begin to plead the blood of Jesus, or you better begin to sing praises. By all means, you have to guard. If you hear a robber coming, what do you do? I remember in those days, in some territories, before midnight, those who are gone, they will have to go to the balcony. Pow! 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 What are they doing? Scaring all the armed robbers away in that area. So the same way, you have to guard your mind. You have to let the devil know that you are in control by the blood of Jesus and by the word of God. In Proverbs 4:23, the Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence. I love that. Don't just do it carelessly. Don't just do it with a very relaxed attitude. Do it diligently, for out of it are the issues of life. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 18, it says, we know that whosoever is born of God does not sin. But he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked does not touch him. So continuously guide your heart. And finally, in James chapter 4, verse 8, it says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. Don't allow Satan to bring doubt. I heard something from one of our sisters who has a podcast. She said, meditation is what to do when you begin to reflect on negative thought. I forgot the way she put it. That's the same way. When you are meditating on the word, if you say you don't know how to meditate, that's exactly what you do when you worry. When you worry, you are meditating on negative thoughts. How will I pay my rent? How will I pay this? You are meditating on negative thoughts, so Satan is bringing doubt. That's the same way you should meditate on the word. This God is good. Look at this testimony. Look at that. So instead of thinking on the negative thoughts, begin to process your mind thinking the word. And I pray in the name of Jesus tonight, by the power of the word, our mind is already on guard against the spirit of the world. In the name of Jesus Christ. What have we learned tonight? How to guide against the spirit of the world. We must guard up the loins of our mind. And we also showed us three ways how to guard up the loins, why we should guard up the loins of our mind, because
the mind is the number one target of the enemy. And until our mind is renewed, our life cannot be transformed. And that every evil act is a product of evil thoughts. And we have also learned four strategies to overcoming the battle of the mind. Engage your conscience. Don't let your conscience go dull. Then continue to exercise your conscience. And then get the weapon of the blood of Jesus and continues to guard your heart. Is somebody blessed tonight? Please rise to your feet, lift up your hands, and let's appreciate the Lord. Let's give him praise for his word. Let's thank him for his word. Now begin to pray in the name of Jesus. By the blood of the Lamb, I pray that my conscience is cleansed tonight. My conscience is active in the name of Jesus. Help me to take responsibility to guard the lungs of my heart in the name of Jesus so as to fight against every manipulation of the devil in the name of Jesus Christ. Lepro katozuzia katodia. Empras kotolia. Arisko talia gabosh. Emprakuto zuzia katodia. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. If you are not born again, your mind is under bondage. There is no way your conscience can work. Satan has already put your mind in a trap. But tonight, Jesus wants to set you free. He says, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Someone under the sound of my voice tonight, you want to surrender your life to Jesus, I'd like to pray with you. I would like you to say this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I know I have sinned. I'm falling short of your glory. Forgive me all of my sins. Wash me with your blood. Make my conscience to be alive and active. Write my name in the book of life. I receive you today as my Savior and as my Lord. I will serve you and follow you all the days of my life. Thank you for saving me. I rededicate my life to you as it were. Thank you for accepting me. In Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, thank you for everyone who said the prayers tonight. You said in your word, whoever comes to you, you will not cast out. Jesus, do not cast them out. In the name of Jesus Christ. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus wash you from all sins. And if any man is in Christ, a new creature, all things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Welcome into the newness of life. In Jesus' mighty name.
Thank you for listening to Winners Chapel International New York's podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and share the link with your friends and family. Visit us online at www.winnerschapelny.org and fellowship with us online on our YouTube channel, Winners Chapel International New York. Have a blessed week. God loves you. See you next time.